Good morning, everybody. How are you guys doing? Good. I am Pastor Jeremiah. So honored to be here today. I got a couple roles in Edmonton. I am a pastor at Mosaic House Church, and a couple people have been there. Jonah Abma goes there. He also plays bass for us. Thank you, Jonah, for coming and making me feel welcome. Oh, there he is in the back. Yeah, he's always mysterious like that. Hey. And I'm also work at the Mustard Seed. I just heard about the Mustard Seed in Edmonton, working with people living in poverty and homelessness. And I'm a student at university too, doing my master's. So, and also I'm married to my wonderful wife, and she is from Lacombe originally. And also mom and dad are here too, Henry and Liz. And through them, I've heard really good things about Wolf Creek, and I've always wanted to come and check it out. So thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you, Bowen. I'm not sure if Bowen's here, but he is the one who emailed me and got this set up. And Susan, for getting things ready, and everybody else that I met today. It's been a blessing. So thank you for having me. Today I decided, or I believe God wanted me to, look at Psalm 148 and talk about worship through creation care. And I've heard there's a few farmers around, and I grew up on an acreage myself, and I love creation. I love the beauty of it and how it glorifies God. And I hope today we'll do two things. We're going to look at Psalm 148 as almost a confession of when we haven't cared for creation the way God wants us to, but also a time of worship and praise as we, with creation, glorify God. Sound good? All right, so have your Bibles. Please turn with me to Psalm 148. And I'm Reformed now, but I grew up in the Pentecostal tradition. And in the Pentecostal tradition, we love to scream, okay? Can you guys yell with me a little bit? Is that okay? Okay, right, all right. I know there's a... I love how the Reformed, the solemnness, the respect for God. And you gotta hold yourself in. But that's good. But also, we gotta scream a little bit, all right? So every time, because this psalm is full of prayer, every time it says, praise the Lord, I want to give you a little yell. Okay, let's practice. Praise the Lord! Nice, right? You guys are good. And whenever it says, praise the name of the Lord, I want you to say, praise his name. Okay? Let's practice that. Praise the name of the Lord. Nice. Very, very good. So let's do this as we enter this time of reading God's word. Hear the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. From the heavens. Praise him from the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For at his command, they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord. From the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the name.
Amen. For his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. Ooh, right on. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so that you are worthy to be praised. And all creation, from the wheat fields to the barley to the trees to us, we praise you. So help us to enter into the spirit of praise by your Holy Spirit, and may you use these small words for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, like I mentioned, I always loved God's beautiful creatures. Any animal lovers here? Okay, a few of them. I grew up on a acreage, kind of middle of nowhere. It's in between Holden and Strom and Viking. You guys know those areas? Yeah, flattest part of Alberta. Wow, it was rough. Anyway, but we had a little livestock farms. We had almost everything. We had llamas, alpacas, ducks, chickens, geese, horses, cows, pigeons. We raised pigeons, rabbits, everything, goats, lambs. We had everything, and I loved it. And then after we moved from Acres, we moved to a small town, and outside the small town was this bison farm. And I love bison or buffalo. Something of the majesty of it. When we drive up to our town, you see a bison on a hill. It's like, wow. Now, as you may know, the North American bison almost went extinct. Before the settlers came to North America, there was an estimated 100 million bison roaming around the plains. And then after the settlers were established and the railroad expanded, along with new technology which made buffalo hides more profitable, there was a great incentive to start killing all the bison. And in addition, it was found that killing the buffalo, in which many indigenous peoples relied upon, was a great way to weaken indigenous peoples, force them onto settlements, and then steal their lands. One military leader encouraged the hunters by saying, "Kill every buffalo you can. Every buffalo dead is an Indian gone." And it became this game for power, land, and money. And in the process, buffalo bodies were laid waste across the prairies, almost to extinction. This is a picture of the buffalo skulls. And one judge called this scene a charnel house, with so many skulls staring at a man and so many bones that new people in town felt nervous. And the effects of such carnage is still felt today in the environment and indigenous communities. Prior to the settlers, historians believe that indigenous cultures had one of the highest qualities of life in the world at that time, because of their symbiotic or harmonious relationship to the buffalo. And now, today, they're the poorest in North America. And one writer argues that the loss of the North American bison was arguably one of the largest economic shocks in all of history. Now, some of us might still look at this and think, yeah, you know, it's just the way things are. Nothing we can really do about it. And it has nothing really to do with the Bible or spiritual concerns. But what if I said that the devastation of the bison is a direct result of humanity's failure to worship the one true God, our failure to praise God? Because when humans fail to praise God, everything else suffers. Instead of praising the King of Kings, humans worshipped money and economic growth as quickly as possible. Instead of praising the Creator, humans worship its own pleasure in the destruction of its own hand. And instead of praising the God-made flesh, they set up their own ethnic group with a God-like status over other peoples. That's one African-American theologian defines racism as setting up your own people group with a God-like status. In this case, especially over indigenous peoples whom God gave this land to. And if you look at Psalm 148, it shows this similar or same principle, but in a positive sense, in reverse. And this is what I believe God wants us to know today. When humans praise God, everything else does too. When we don't, everything suffers. But when we do, everything else joins in that praise. And in this psalm, it's almost like the psalmist is this conductor directing this beautiful orchestra of praise in which all creation is a part. In the first six verses, the conductor awakens the heavens, the heavenly beings, the angels, the sun, the moon, and the stars to begin with this booming percussion. And in Jewish culture, there was different levels of heaven. The highest heaven was the place where God dwelled in this inapproachable and beautiful light. And then the lower heavens were where the heavenly bodies dwelled, the moon, the stars, the sun. And then if you look at the next six verses, the conductor now narrows into the earth. The great sea creatures, the trees, the bugs, the birds, And all humans, young and old, they all sing praises of God like the woodwind or the brass instruments. And finally, the last few verses are like the strings, and they refer to the people of God. Now, if you know the story of the Bible, in the Old Testament, God chose this little nation, Israel, with a very specific mission and identity. And now this mission identity is continued in us, the new covenant, the church of Jesus. And when humans praise God, everything, and I mean everything, does too. However, when we do not, everything else suffers. And that's what we're going to, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to first see how creation praises God, because creation was made to praise. And then we're going to shift to us, how humans, our praise of God affects creation's praise. And then we'll end with some applications. Because when humans praise God, everything else does too. First one, creation was made to praise. Just like humans, God made creation to praise Him. Worship or praise is basically just an appropriate response to the worth of something. Timothy Keller says, the worship is the act of ascribing ultimate value or worth to something in a way that energizes your whole being. And it's natural to praise things that we recognize as having great worth. One example is my wife and I, we love going to the mountains and going hiking. In Jasper, there's called the Tramway Hike. You guys been to the gondola in Jasper there? You can go on the gondola or you can hike up to it. And when you get up to it, it's just amazing. It's beautiful. And when you see that beauty, first thing you would say, wow, that's amazing. Wow. Because we would say that beauty has worth. It's important. My wife and I, we were just camping in Pigeon Lake this weekend. So I smell like smoke, sorry. Didn't shower yet. I shouldn't have said that. But and we were driving down, I think, 771, and the hills, oh, it's beautiful. And we're just sitting in silence. And all, like, wow, this is amazing. That's praise. You're just recognizing the worth of something. And when we recognize the greatness and the worth of God, the Creator, the one who invented beauty itself, we will just naturally praise Him. In creation, too, we enter into this praise. Now, have you ever wondered how creation praises? Like, do they have this little secret worship concert? You know, at nighttime when we're sleeping, they're singing Bethel and going, yeah, the beavers are on the drums and, like, everything's going on. Have you ever thought about that? I have. how do they do it? Well, one way we do it is this. Worship means living out God's design for us. And creation worships by being the best creature it can be. Creation sings praises to God when they simply be who God made them to be. They praise God by being the best bird, creepy thing, or bug, being the best cow, being the best barley grain. They just being the best thing God created them to be by obeying this special task God gave them to be. One writer states that creation are like servants executing God's will in the heavens and the earth. The sun, the moon, and the stars are obedient to God, and therefore they're called to praise God because they exist only by the actions and love of God. And simply, they praise God by being His obedient servants. God told you to be a moon, you be the best moon you can be. God told you to be a wheat grain, be the best wheat grain you can be. And again, worship means recognizing or acknowledging something's great worth. And creation does that by reflecting characteristics of God to the world. Cedars, livestock, simply by being, shine, glorify, bring attention to worthy characteristics of the Creator God. Now, I've loved, I'm not sure here, but in Edmonton we've had a lot of lightning storms. Have you guys had a lot of thunder and lightning here too? And I love thunder and lightning because when it booms, ooh, you just shake. And that reminds me of the power and the might of God. Buffalo 2, or actually before I get to that, Psalm 19 kind of just clearly declares this. It says here in Psalm 19, 1, verse 4, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They don't have a secret language. They don't talk. Actually says they have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out to all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world just by being what God created them to be. Now the buffalo, they remind me of the majesty and also the genius of God. Now the grasslands across the prairies in North America, every year they grow a third more growth. Excess growth of itself. It's times by 0.3 that will naturally decompose. And this excess growth dies and chokes the soil and prevents healthy plant growth. But wild bison, when they group in herds and they move quickly across the land, doing what bisons do, eating, pooping, digging up the soil, they eat and remove this excess growth and they create this healthier ecosystem. And they one person told me that there's new research looking at the way that indigenous peoples and the bison kind of were in relationship. It actually prevented more out-of-control long-term wildfires. God designed it in such a way, there was wildfires, of course, but it prevented wildfires getting so out of control and wiping everything out. And unfortunately, domesticated bison we have today, they've lost this knowledge. They forgot how to be what God created them to be. And they roam around, they're a little more lazier, they don't go in herds as much, they stay in one spot and just sleep. They don't do what old bison do, and humans now, we're trying to replicate what traditional bison has done for the sake of the ecosystem. Now for me, isn't God amazing? God designed that. Now, is there something for you in creation that reminds you about a characteristic of God? The sun, the moon, the sky. You know, we're a small group. Anybody want to shout it out? What's something in creation that reminds you of something of God? Flowers, what does it tell you of God?
Creative and beautiful.
Yeah. Just love them. Just, I don't know. Yeah, God's an artist. Yeah, through flowers. Anybody else?
New life.
What's that?
New life.
Yeah. So when the spring comes and everything gets so nice, yeah. Anybody else?
Food.
I know, and it's, yeah, so many different things. Yeah, he must love to eat then. Well, I don't know about that, but yeah. He wants us to enjoy it. Yeah, that's so true. Let me give you one more, and this is a controversial one. Mosquitoes remind me of the grace of God. Because no matter how far I run or hide or cover up, I can never escape the grace of God, as I can never escape mosquitoes. Yeah, that works for you? No? Okay, we'll try it out outside a little bit later. Creation, all creation was made to praise God and shine who he is. Now, humans, too, were made to praise God. Humans, the Bible says, we have a special place in creation. We can have a personal relationship with the Creator through Jesus. We can know and put into words his great worth. However, our praise is also very similar to the rest of creation. Humans praise God by living out God's design and purpose for us, by being the best human we can be. And like creation, by living out obediently who God made us to be, we are worshiping God. One old gentleman said this, Irenaeus, the glory of God is man fully alive. And I believe what he's saying is, When we live out fully who God made us to be, that in itself is an act of worship and praise to God. Because we bring attention to, we shine characteristics of God simply by being who God made us to be. Now, this could be understood in more personal terms. God made us all very different, with specific abilities, talents, spiritual gifts. And when we practice these, when we use those things, we feel alive. And that is a gift from God. Now, I love soccer. Any soccer fans here? Okay, a couple people. Yeah, and I love serving others. That's a spiritual gift, this gift of helps. And every Sunday, we have a soccer program in our church. We invite neighbors to come out and play soccer together. And I feel so alive. I feel like this is who God created me. Kicking the ball around, seeing people, kids having so much joy, feeling connected, those who are lonely. And that gives me just so much this life. Because that's who God created me to be. And that in itself is an act of praise of God. I am living out obediently who God made me to be. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't publicly and with words declare, praise the God, praise the Lord. Amen. We definitely should. We can't leave that out. But in addition to that, part of our praise is living out those things which give us joy. Because God wants us to feel alive and feel joy. But also, this can be understood in more the general design for all human beings. If we as humans live out our design and purpose, just like the sun and moon does, then we will bring glory to God. And there's two purposes of humanity I want to point out. One, we see in this chapter, humans, we have this leading role in praise. And two, humans are made in the image of God. And both are connected. If you look at Genesis 1, it states that humans, after all creation was made, humans were kind of almost at this pinnacle. We were made in the image of God. And God called us to have dominion and to rule the earth. And some, unfortunately, have taken this to mean that we can do whatever we want with the earth. It's all for us anyway. However, we are also made in God's image. And there's so much you could talk about with this, but one thing I want to point out is the image of God means that we are called to reflect or display who God is to the world. While creation is called to reflect certain characteristics of God, humans are actually called to represent God on earth. We're called to show all creation what God looks like. And the idea that we could do whatever we want with the earth when we want would only be true if the God we're supposed to represent, the king of the universe, was a dictator who only used creation for his own selfish gains when he wanted to. And praise God, he is not like that. We are rather called to rule and to have dominion over the earth like God the King does, in love, in mercy. And Christians have taken this idea and said that we are called to be stewards or managers of the earth. We are called to manage and protect and allow the earth to flourish. And as stewards, we're called to take care of creation so that it can praise God. We're like the managers. Anybody here ever had a bad manager at work? Okay, yeah. When they have a bad manager, everything sucks. Everything suffers. In the same way, we are called to be good managers of the earth. And our main task is to encourage all creation to praise Him, to be the best it can be so it can praise God. Now, humans, therefore, we're called to take care of the air, the water, endangered species, deal with pollution and overconsumption, because that is our God-given task, so that other creatures can thrive and continue to praise God by their very existence. And we then have this leading role in praise. And as conductors, we are called to encourage the praise of all creation. And when humans decided to protect the bison and other endangered species, it too was fulfilling the purpose of God that God gave to us. And thankfully, Alberta has the largest free-roaming, protected bison population in the world. By allowing the bison to remain, it can praise God in its own unique way. And when we Christians do this and engage in this, we are reflecting who God is to the world. Creation care, then, is an act of worship and praise to God. Because in it we fulfill who God made us to be. Leaders in this cosmic worship and those who reflect who God is to the world. As we have seen, however, we're not always very good at worshiping God. And when humans praise God, everything else does too, but when humans don't, everything else suffers. And one writer says, commenting on 148, the way in which human beings relate to ecological matters, they can either enhance or inhibit nature's response to God. We can either allow to flourish or diminish creation's praise to God. And singing Psalm 148 should remind us of our God-given duty that we are made in God's image and we're called to praise with creation, but also it should lead us to confession, remembering the times when we have destroyed creation, its own unique praise to God. And if you look at humanity's track record, we're not always good at it. And that's because our worship is out of whack. And Scripture says, we become what we worship. It's a few places in the Scripture. Psalm 115, 7 and 8 says, it's God talking to Israel and says, why are you making these dumb, deaf, mute idols? They can't do anything. I'm the creator. And those who make them will become like them. And instead of leading creation to praise, humanity has led creation to destruction. And instead of reflecting God, humanity has reflected the flat, mute gods of power, of money, of ethnocentrism, and of our own insatiable desires. And when we realize this, it's hard to sing Psalm 148 because we have failed in our design. Instead of obeying God, we are stuck in sin. And unfortunately, it all started with the first humans in Genesis chapter 3. For them, instead of reflecting God to the world, they grasped for power. They wanted to compete with God for praise. They wanted to become equal to God. And from that moment on, the Bible says that all creation was under the curse of what the Bible calls the power of sin and death. We were slaves to it. And instead of leading creation to praise, humanity sent creation spiraling towards death, to corruption and decay. The good news is Jesus. He entered into our lack of praise. Instead of abandoning creation to this disease, to this curse, God became part of creation. God the Creator took on human flesh. He sang the song of praise on our behalf when we couldn't. He lived out being made in God's image, showing all creation a perfect representation of who God is. He did this because he loved us. We were a people close to his heart. Creation was close to his heart. And yet, still, enslaved by sin and death, humans, we didn't understand. And we killed Jesus, much like we kill every creature that stands in the way of our gods of destruction. And yet still, instead of destroying us, Jesus took the death that we deserved on the cross. He died for our sins. And what's even more, Jesus rose from the dead. And that means that power, that curse of sin and death, which drives humanity always to destroy creation, is now defeated. It's now broken. The curse is ended. Psalm 145, 148, verse 14 says, the horn of salvation has come. And the word horn is a military term denoting might and strength. And the writers in the Old Testament have looked to this image of the horn as to the Messiah or the Savior who has set all things right. Zechariah in the New Testament, John the Baptist's dad, takes up this image and says, praise the Lord, for he has raised up a horn of salvation for us. And he was talking about Jesus. And like the horn of the buffalo, Jesus charged against the power of sin and death and defeated them. And Paul takes this imagery up in Colossians 1, 19-20 and says, for in him, that's Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. That he was that perfect image of God. He was one with God. And through him, to reconcile all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace by his blood on the cross. And Colossians 2 takes the next step further, said, Jesus defeated the powers and principalities by nailing them to the cross and shaming them on it. And this is the good news of Jesus. Now we can be reconciled back to God. And now humanity and all creation also can be reconciled together. And through Jesus, we are now able to be human again, to fulfill God's design given to us to the glory of God. And Jesus has defeated sin and death and now established this new kingdom, this new way of being here and now. But it's not fully here yet, is it? There's still brokenness. There's still devastation. It's not fully here until Jesus the Lord comes back and sets everything right. He is coming back, and I'm excited for that day. But until then, God has created us, a new people. First Israel, and now this multicultural community of humans called the church for a very, very special task. Us now, the church, we are called to lead the praise of all creation and live out God's image in us. And because of what Jesus done on the cross, we can do it. We are now empowered to participate in the reconciliation that Jesus is bringing and has brought, and to bear witness to the love of God through our own love for creation and for each other. And even if the world can't quite get there yet, the church should be that image of what it looks like to care for, to be in God's kingdom, to glorify Jesus. And when humans praise God, everything else does too. And we are called to participate in that because Christ has done it already. Now, how do we do this? And I want to end with two applications. We looked at how creation praises God and now how humans praise God. And now let's look at two applications. How the church, how can we participate in that reconciliation God brings and that worship through creation care? Two applications. One is lead the praise of all creation. Now, we become what we worship, so let's praise the Lord, and we will become like him through his Holy Spirit. In this psalm, the point of the psalm is not to make us feel bad for not praising God as enthusiastically or as fervently as the psalmist. Rather, he is saying, look around you. Look at the gophers. Look at the trees. Look at the fields. Everything's already praising God. Just join in. Just lift your hands. It's already happening. Well, I know I hate gophers, I'm sorry, but I'm from a small town. But anyway, even they're praising God. If they can do it, we can too. We don't have to like, oh, I can't worship God, it's so hard to. It's already happening. Join in. Jesus has already brought salvation for all creation. He's done it all. Just join in. God is the initiator and source of our praise, not us. To just enter that praise, practice praise. Go to Jesus. He transforms us by his Holy Spirit, and we will naturally join and naturally lead the praise of all creation. Second is, encourage creation to praise through our care for it. I should quickly mention, creation does not need us to worship. In the story in Luke, Jesus is coming into Jerusalem in the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, and everybody's praising, hallelujah, hallelujah, pray, Hosanna. And the religious leaders were like, tell your disciples to stop praising you. And Jesus says, if they don't praise, even the rocks will cry out. They already have a special relationship to God. They already have a special task. They're already praising God. However, one of our duties as humans is once we respond to the grace of Jesus, is to allow creation to be itself, to praise God by caring for it. Now, fortunately, the Christian Reformed Church, which I'm a part of, and you guys have connection to, they are very active in this regard. And there's so many things to talk about. One of the biggest challenges facing today is the change in the climate. And the Christian Reformed Church has created a task force and now a network of Christians seeking to be a witness to the gospel through their creation care. They have this report, all these things. I encourage you to check it out online. Keep educating yourself on it. And the Office of Social Justice, another branch of the Christian Reformed Church, they present 10 practical ways that churches can be that witness, to get involved. And there's so much more. I'll point out three is be a climate change partner. Now, they are seeking that every church try their best to have somebody be representative in their network. And what you do in the network is just brainstorm ideas how you as a church can just glorify God through taking being good stewards, being good managers of His creation, to think of creative ideas and also support for each other. Number five is pray for communities that are impacted by the change of the climate. Unfortunately, certain communities are more affected than others. Unfortunately, there's a report saying that Canada might benefit from climate change. Other countries won't have that benefit, so pray for them. Just think about them. And number nine, save energy. When we reduce, reuse, recycle, we are actually saving money, too. And for the good Dutch people, that's a great thing, right? So by taking care of the environment, being better managers, being more efficient, and in the process of glorifying God, we actually glorify God with our resources, our financial resources as well. There's so much more resources. Check it out online. Keep learning about it. And in little things in your own life, how can you better glorify God with the resources He's given to us? And I encourage you, whatever you decide to do in your interactions with creation, and also with everything, with humanity, always ask yourself, in my actions to creation, which God do I reflect right now? Am I reflecting the God of love and justice and joy, or am I reflecting another God? That always helps to guide me. When humans praise God, everything else does too. So thank you so much for having me as we have confessed maybe our sins to God in terms of creation care. And I encourage all of us throughout this week to, through the grace of Jesus, join in this resounding orchestra of praise already happening. And let us enhance that praise as we care for this earth God has given to us. God has us close to His heart, and He wants us to share that heart with all His creation. Let's pray. Lord of creation, thank you that you are so worthy. You are the creator. You are the king. Forgive us when we have turned our backs on you and used creation for our own selfish purposes to make us feel good. Lord, we confess it to your hands. And help us now to enter into your praise, to worship you alone, and to reflect you to the world. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Though we couldn't do it, He came to bring us salvation and redemption for all creation. Help us to be part of that, to join in with your church and all creation, to glorify you in everything we do. I pray for the farmers, Lord, is coming close to harvest and fall, or bless them in all they do. May they continue to glorify you through their care for creation as your good managers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you enjoyed it and would like to be a part of the experience, please come and join us. Be blessed wherever you are.